As many of you know, Tim Evers and I spent much of last week in Haiti visiting our mission partner, St. Luke's School. As you will see later in this sermon, I'm so thankful that a coincidence of calendar had us travel there during Advent. My first glimpse of the country came from 10,000 feet in the air. The Haitian landscape rises rugged and mountainous to the east where it abuts the Dominican Republic and flattens to the west where a peninsula bathes in the Caribbean Sea. Our destination was in the countryside west of the capital. We arrived at the Hospital of St. Croix in Laogan after the wildest vehicular ride of my life. Negotiating intersections paired survival of the fittest with a massive game of chicken. There were next to no traffic lights, and the painted traffic lanes seemed merely suggestive. Even which side of the road to drive on was in doubt. But we made it, thanks to our driver's aggressive skill and liberal use of the horn. As we drove, both from the airport and on the way to St. Luke, I tried to take in as much of my surroundings as possible. Here are a few impressions in no particular order. In Haiti, wherever there is an open patch of ground, there are kids playing soccer on it. Grass is optional, and having a ball is optional. Most people are dressed the way you or I might when we're doing yard work. The big exception are kids, particularly girls, wearing immaculate school uniforms. And I mean immaculate. Their blouses are the only thing I saw that I would classify as the color white. Everything else that could be white was painted tan by all the dust. There are stray dogs all over the place, many with mammary glands, obviously swollen with milk. And I realized how odd this sight was to me because nearly every dog in the U.S. is spayed or neutered. The two main forms of transportation are walking and riding small motorcycles, dirt bikes, really. And I didn't know you could fit 5 people on a dirt bike, but you can. There are lots of scrawny little goats milling around. Many of the ramshackle dwellings are fenced in with tarps emblazoned with USAID, the United States Agency for International Development. The tarps say, "From the American people" on them. It's a sad commentary that the emergency tarps provided 5 years ago after the earthquake have become a permanent fixture in people's dwellings. In the distance, the landscape is truly stunning. But focusing on the landscape close by tells what happens when there is no functioning sanitation department. Discarded bottles and styrofoam food containers collect in piles like raked leaves, along with other unidentified refuse. All this I saw from the seat of a dented Mazda dual cab pickup truck. All this I saw without actually interacting with anyone. Thankfully, we did interact with people, and so my appreciation for both the blessings and challenges of life in Mercerie, Haiti, deepened. Our main contact was Father Sonley Joseph, the priest in charge of St. Croix and its eight satellite parishes, including St. Luke. Sonley and I have a lot in common. We're both writers, and we both lived in the same dormitory at Virginia Theological Seminary, he a couple years after I. I liked him immediately, and not just because of our kinship, but because of his soft-spoken yet ardent and inviting vision of the mission of God. In Haiti, the church's participation in God's mission has always been linked with education, and most churches have schools attached. Sounds like St. Mark's, if you ask me. Father Sonley was our guide and interpreter when we went to St. Luke on Wednesday morning to say hello to the students and teachers. We received 270 bonjours in return, across the 8 classrooms from 6th grade on down to pre-K. The school has no electricity, but there is enough tropical sunlight to illuminate all the rooms, save for one whose windows are shaded by plants. The classrooms are quite noisy because there's nothing but cinder blocks to keep sounds from one room invading another. And most teaching is done using the blackboard, as there aren't enough books to go around. But even with these challenges, and many others, the teachers' love for their profession and their students is evident from the moment you step in the room. Tim and I met with the teachers later in the day, and they all agree that St. Luke is the best school in Mercerie. Their pride for and dedication to their school was wonderful to feel. Access to education is a fundamental human right. And these teachers are realizing this fundamental human right for those 270 beautiful children in a country where such access is far from assured. To be involved in the process of educating these children, even in the small way we at St. Mark's are, is a gift. Our partnership with St. Luke's School is a gift from God, a participation in God's mission, as Father Sonley described it. Of course, there is so much more we could do. We have a list, prioritized from simple to incredibly ambitious. But that's only for these 270 kids. What about the other children in Haiti, or in other poverty-stricken places, even here in the United States, or the other needs and disparities that need to be addressed, or the issues of injustice that keep people from having access to fundamental human rights? There's so much more that we could do. There's always so much more we could do. So much more than we can easily become overwhelmed. And the need can steal our breath. Then the need can steal our balance. And then the need can steal our will to persevere. And this is where the season of Advent infiltrates our hearts and minds and gives us a little breathing room to stand back and take it all in. Yes, the needs of this world are great. Yes, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. But Advent teaches us two things that will sharpen our focus and our will. First, as Stacy so aptly put it last week, Advent reminds us that the one we long for is already here. There is a tension at play between God's kingdom already here and God's kingdom still to come. God's kingdom is alive and well in Haiti. Indeed, despite the general poverty of resources and circumstances, the faith of the people of Haiti is deep and abiding. I saw dozens of signs that said, "Merci, Jesus," on them. Thank you, Jesus. For what, you might ask? Well, for life, for love, for family. The same things you and I thank Jesus for. That's the already of the kingdom. And the not yet is still breaking in. The not yet of the kingdom. It's in the teachers sweltering at blackboards with 50 students clamoring for their attention. It's in the mother painstakingly washing the uniform each night so it is immaculate again in the morning. It's in the hungry yet smiling faces of those children who are Haiti's future, whom we are helping to educate. Second, Advent teaches us to focus on a particular spot at a particular time on a particular person. The particularity of Jesus' incarnation is what we are getting ready for. God came to us in all the particularity of a precious human life, born in a place that could easily have been fenced with a tarp from USAID. Because of this incarnation, Jesus had a chance to meet people in a way God couldn't, eye to eye, touching, embracing, walking with, eating with, and dying for. When you start to get overwhelmed by the needs of the world, return to Advent. Walk with Mary and Joseph to that starlit stable in Bethlehem and witness the birth of grace and love. See Christ embodied in his own peculiar humanness. Then go back to the needs of this world. Don't be overwhelmed by the sheer quantity. Instead, do what God did in the incarnation. Pick a place. Pick a person. Be present there. Form a partnership there. Form relationships there, in that singular place. Find Christ in that person and be an incarnation of Christ to that person. That's what we're doing in the partnership between St. Mark's Church and St. Luke's School. It's an Advent partnership, already begun but never quite finished. It's also a Christmas partnership, because in that little school off a dirt road in the boondocks of the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, we incarnate Christ for each other. So I say with all fervor, thanks be to God. Amen.